Thank you very much. Okay, we are going to go on to case number 4. And that case is 10-3352, and it is Soriano versus the town of Cicero. And Mr. Oppenheimer.
I wasn't sure it was clear. I was asking for 5 minutes and 5 minutes for a rebuttal.
Whatever you ask for in our house, you get. So we're going to give you five minutes rebuttal.
Thank you, Judge. And I also apologize. I have a cold.
It's okay. Just stay where you are.
I will, Judge.
We'll work out.
I can move back. I can move back if you'd like. No. I can phone it in. Your Honors, we're obviously asking that the lower court's ruling be reversed with regard to this summary judgment motion. In this case, Mr. Soriano, there is no question that Mr. Soriano led the police on a rather low-speed chase. At the end of the chase, Mr. Soriano was basically cornered, surrounded by the Cicero police, and there are plenty of issues, factual issues, in dispute, which is why we're asking that the lower court's ruling be reversed.
Well, of course, you don't dispute that he accelerated his van toward Officer Stroud. You think what we need to do is consider whether a reasonable officer would have used deadly force to apprehend him, considering that his thigh had been merely bumped. But why should we focus on the ultimate outcome of Soriano's actions? I mean, regardless of how badly Officer Stroud was hurt, isn't it true that a reasonable officer could have thought that by the very act of accelerating this van toward him, that he was in imminent danger?
Your Honor, I think I do take some issue with the word acceleration. There was testimony at the criminal trial with regard to Luis Palacios' testimony, who indicated that the wheels of the van rolled forward, not even a full rotation. So as far as acceleration, the jury found Mr. Soriano guilty of the aggravated battery. They did not find Mr. Soriano guilty of the attempt murder. They did not find that he attempted to cause great bodily harm or serious bodily harm or death with regard to Officer Stroud. It is our position that in Mr. Soriano's testimony at his deposition that he may have taken his foot off the pedal. Luis Palacio corroborates that it seemed like his foot was taken off the pedal. The van rolled forward. Officer Vitalo, who's now a convicted felon for filing false police reports with regard to another case, he is the one that told Mr. Soriano to stop, and then he fired the weapon through the window, thus causing Mr. Soriano's
paralysis. Well, I mean,
paralysis.
You know, you've argued in your brief that a reasonable jury could find that Soriano's van rolled forward inadvertently and bumped Officer Stroud's thigh as Soriano was attempting to obey the police order to park and exit the van. But isn't that scenario really inconsistent with Soriano's criminal conviction for aggravated battery? Because aggravated battery requires the state to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Soriano intentionally caused bodily harm to Officer Stroud.
It does. But then the issue is, does an officer have a right to shoot someone? If I were to punch a police officer or to push a police officer, that is... I'm not saying that I would. Well, I wouldn't necessarily do that. But the question is, if someone were to punch a police officer, a jury could certainly find that he intentionally caused bodily harm to the police officer, no matter how serious or not serious it was. Does that give the officer the right to then shoot that person for punching him? No, it doesn't. And I think this is clearly a question of excessive force, and it's up to the jury to decide.
Yeah, but, you know, Mr. Soriano is behind, what, 2 tons? Of deadly weapon in the wrong hands, right?
Well, I wouldn't argue with it that a van or a car could become a deadly weapon. People get run over all the time, and they're killed. So it clearly can become a deadly weapon when they are intended to run someone over. I think in this case, it's a subject for the jury to decide if he intended to run him over or intended to use that van as a deadly weapon. In this case, there is certainly testimony from the defendants, well, in this case, the plaintiff's witnesses, that the van rolled forward at a very, very slow rate of speed, that the wheels barely even turned, and that Officer Stroud was bumped and, in fact, jumped on top of the van. So I think that's a subject matter for the jury to decide if, in fact, Soriano intended to do it as you said he could have done that.
Mr. Oppenheimer, the record reflects that you did not respond to the qualified immunity argument. Of course, the court found as part of its summary judgment that qualified immunity applied here. Haven't you waived any argument on qualified immunity? And doesn't that pretty much moot out the rest of your appeal?
Judge, I think the subject of qualified immunity, although it was not responded to in the brief, indicates there's clearly a constitutional issue here, and it's clear that it's possible that the officers violated that constitution by using excessive force, and I think it is otherwise implicated in the other issues that are put forward in our brief. I can't argue with you that it was not responded to in the brief.
Have you waived that argument then?
I would argue that we have not waived that argument, but it clearly was not responded to in the brief.
Okay. You would not argue it, but what would your prediction be then on waiver?
I can make that prediction.
I see. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Zimmer, you're going to take 5 minutes. Then Mr. Welch is going to take 5 minutes.
May it please the Court. My name is Austin Zimmer. I represent the town of Cicero, and I'm going to address the argument regarding collateral estoppel. Illinois law precludes relitigation.
You're going to argue qualified immunity.
Mr. Welch.
Okay.
Illinois law precludes relitigation of issues that were necessarily decided in criminal proceedings. We know that. So the real issue here is Mr. Soriano's case here in front of the district court, in front of this court, were those issues already decided in the criminal case? And the answer is yes, they were. Now, Your Honor, you asked counsel a few minutes ago about paragraph 36 of our 56.1 statement. And they admitted that these were undisputed facts. The evidence established that plaintiff instigated a police chase through Cicero to Chicago. Plaintiff failed to exit his van, accelerating the direction of Officer Stroud, struck him, causing him to jump on the hood of the vehicle, and plaintiff was hit Stroud with the vehicle before he was shot. They admitted to that. So we know that. That's an admitted fact. Now, based on these facts that were presented at the criminal trial, Soriano was found guilty of aggravated battery to a police officer. Now, what's important about that? The word intentional. That's what this court really needs to grasp onto, intentional. He wants to bring the case to a jury. We submit a jury has already heard this case, and that was a jury at 26 in California that found Mr. Soriano guilty of intentional acts. Now, can a car be a deadly weapon? Absolutely. Case law is clear on that. And police are allowed to use deadly force if they are threatened with a deadly weapon. And in this case, that is what had happened. Officer Stroud was struck by the vehicle. On top of the vehicle, Officer Vitale then used deadly force to protect his fellow officer. A very important case, one that was decided last year by the Seventh Circuit that deals with issues almost identical to this case, is Brown versus City of Chicago. And in that case, an officer, a Chicago officer, was trying to respond to a drug transaction. He sees an individual. The assailant points a gun at the officer. The officer tells him to put the gun down. He does it. The officer shoots him. Goes to a criminal case. The individual, the assailant, is found guilty of aggravated assault. So there's no striking, just an aggravated assault, not an aggravated battery like there is here. They bring an excessive force case to this building. And what happens there is summary judgment is granted. It was Judge Dara, ironically, again, and Judge Dara found that collateral estoppel applied because the issues regarding the officer and the assailant were decided in the lower court. And the case was appealed to the Seventh Circuit, and the Seventh Circuit found the same thing. Said that this court dealt with a case with similar facts, and a collateral estoppel must apply because here the conviction in criminal court already established the issues. Here we have the same thing in play. What the criminal court decided, these issues, under the doctrine of issue preclusion, The issues decided in the prior adjudication need to be identical. The issues that were decided at 26 in California, they were identical. Now, they want to talk about reasonableness, about a jury. A jury's already decided these issues. Plaintiff has already admitted that the undisputed facts demonstrate that he accelerated, hit the officer, struck him. The actions of the officer in response were reasonable, they were proper, and they were necessary. Based on that, solely on the issue of collateral estoppel, not even having to look at the issue of qualified immunity, which we believe was waived, not even having to look at the Heck v. Humphrey doctrine, but based on collateral estoppel and this court's recent ruling in a very similar case of Brown versus City of Chicago, we submit that the evidence dictates that Judge Dare's decision was proper and summary judgment should be upheld.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Walsh? He can have the remainder of...
Hi.
Good morning, Your Honors. Counsel. May it please the court. My name is Emmanuel Welch, and I represent the individual police officer defendants in this matter. Officer Dino Vitallo, Jason Stroud, Vito Passione, Steve Hendricks, Scott Harris, and Jeff Pawalski. We are here this morning, Your Honors, to say that Judge Darrow got it right when he granted our motion for summary judgment. We believe Judge Darrow got it right and should be affirmed for two reasons, in addition to what Mr. Zimmer has already argued. One, any recovery by Mr. Soriano in this case would invalidate his underlying criminal conviction, which would go directly against the doctrine established by the U.S. Supreme Court in Heck versus Humphrey. And two, any recovery by Mr. Soriano would go against the doctrine of qualified immunity, as Your Honor has pointed out this morning, which plaintiff has never refuted.
You know, I have to tell you, I have to think about this a lot more, but I'm not sure that all this talk about qualified immunity is anything but a distraction. Also, Heck versus Humphrey, because the question is this. Given Soriano's battery of Officer Stroud, was Officer Vitallo justified in shooting Soriano? And if he was, then the defendants didn't violate Soriano's constitutional rights in the first place. So I've got to work that out in my own head.
Well, I agree with Your Honor's statement, but I also agree that with Judge Darrow, and that he got it right when he said that qualified immunity does apply in this case.
I don't understand why you need it.
It's a cleanup. It's like the number four hitter in the lineup. It's the guy who steps up and hits a home run and wins the game for us, Your Honor. I believe, you know, that's what the qualified immunity argument plays in this case. You know, if we looked at qualified immunity alone, because a criminal jury has already ruled that the officer's actions were clearly reasonable just by the nature of their conviction, that issue, as Judge Darrow pointed out in his memorandum opinion, the reasonableness is there, and because of the reasonableness of the officer's actions, there's no violation of any type of constitutional issue.
But see, nominally, your first argument is that the defendants are entitled to qualified immunity because the constitutional right that they violated wasn't clearly established. But aren't you really arguing that the defendants didn't violate Soriano's constitutional rights in the first place?
Yes.
And that's the district court's bottom line conclusion. So, again, I say to you, what does qualified immunity have to do with this appeal? I mean, you don't need it. You know, we don't add irrelevancies, but I don't know. You know, I'm going to have to talk about this with...
I think Your Honor makes a very valid point, because the issue of qualified immunity is a two-prong test. And the first prong, which plaintiff is obligated to prove, is that there has been a constitutional violation. We don't believe that there has been a constitutional violation. So Your Honor has a very valid point, and certainly we believe the motion for summary judgment should be upheld even on that issue. With regard to Heck versus Humphrey, We believe that Judge Darrow got it right in his analysis of that Supreme Court case as well. The Supreme Court specifically said in Heck that if allowing recovery of damages would necessarily imply the invalidity of a conviction of a sentence, a Section 1983 plaintiff must demonstrate that his or her conviction has been reversed, vacated, expunged, or somehow called into doubt. We don't have that in this case, Your Honors. There is no evidence in the record that Mr. Soriano's conviction of aggravated battery of a police officer and aggravated fleeing or eluding a police officer has been called into doubt at all. In fact, it's just the opposite. Mr. Soriano's convictions, he was convicted, he appealed those convictions, and the convictions were upheld, and he actually served time for those convictions.
Right, and that's why I don't think Heck versus Humphrey comes into this case either, because the relevant question is whether a reasonable officer would think that the, you know, that the commission of the battery put him or a third party in imminent danger, and you know, Officer Vitallo thought that.
Absolutely.
So,
and once again, I have
nobody's about to negate the excessive force claim. I mean, the aggravated battery conviction. Yeah. Well, I have to go back again.
Once again, I would have to agree with Your Honor. But, Your Honor, Heck v. Humphrey definitely helps us because it certainly says if the issue has been decided by one jury, we can't allow the possibility of a second jury to invalidate that conviction. And basically that's what plaintiff's counsel is asking this court to do, to send it back and let a second jury possibly say, hey, the officer's action was not reasonable. We already know the officer's actions were reasonable, and that's why, Your Honors, we're asking that Judge Darrow's motion for summary judgment be affirmed.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you. Mr. Oppenheimer, come on up. Bring your colt with you.
Thank you, Judge. Your Honors, what I have to add to that regarding that line of questioning is the problem is with the first part of this, and that is, if you want to assume that Heck versus Humphrey is not a problem here, if you want to assume that qualified immunity is not a problem here, counsel's whole argument is predilected on the fact that the first jury decided everything, and that is it. And that is what Judge Darrow ruled. The problem here is the first jury did not decide everything.
What didn't they decide?
Well, they did decide that Mr. Soriano was not guilty of attempted murder, which means they decided that he did not use a deadly weapon. He did not use a deadly weapon to attempt to inflict great bodily harm or death. They decided not to find him guilty of that. They decided to find him guilty of aggravated battery, which means they decided that the car, in some way, fashion, or form, bumped, or they can argue accelerated, to strike Officer Stroud. But assuming counsel is correct, that means any time you have an aggravated battery of a police officer, and again, to use my analogy of punching or pushing a police officer, if I punch or push or, in fact, spit on a police officer, that is aggravated battery to a police officer. Although I believe in this case he was found guilty of there was
he's
a deadly
found
weapon
of aggravated battery by
with
a
deadly weapon.
Weapon, not a firearm.
You're correct.
That's
you're,
different than
you're
some punching somebody or pushing somebody.
But in this case, they did not find that he attempted to use that car to inflict great bodily harm or death. They found he had no intention to do that. In fact, there were no serious injuries in the case. The only serious injury was to Mr. Soriano, who was paralyzed from the chest down. Therefore, it is up to a second jury to decide the real issue. And the real issue, despite the smokescreen the counsel pushes up, is whether or not this officer used excessive force. And that issue has not been decided by that jury. They did not decide whether or not that officer was reasonable in shooting him. All that jury decided was did Mr. Soriano inflict some harm to Officer Stroud by use of his van. That's all that jury decided. They did not decide whether or not it was reasonable for him to be shot by Officer Vitale. That was never decided. It was never addressed. It was never part of their purview to decide that. The only issue decided was what they decided. And therefore, I do not think that issue has been decided yet, and therefore it's up to a second jury to decide that and not Judge Darrow.
But if the court found that the officers were entitled to qualified immunity, which did, right?
Yes.
Ms. Sarah?
Correct.
Right. But you never addressed, or whoever, Mr. Soriano, never addressed that during summary judgment. That issue is waived, and you cannot bring it back up. Therefore, Judge Dara's opinion and decision regarding qualified immunity stands. It can't be attacked on appeal, right?
Again, Your Honor, I would only argue.
Say we found didn't find for Heck and Heck Doctrine and the others, but there's that qualified immunity out there that the officers have qualified immunity, and it's never been addressed by Mr. Soriano.
I would simply argue that it's been implicitly addressed in Mr. Soriano's brief, and that there was a constitutional right to be free from excessive force, and that constitutional right was violated by Officer Stroud shooting him in the chest. I certainly cannot argue with you that, again, that the qualified immunity was not addressed in Mr. Soriano's brief.
Yeah. I mean, it's always been the law of the circuit.
I understand.
Every circuit that you don't address an article.
I understand.
Or an argument, it's waived.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Be well.
Thank you.
Okay. So the case is taken under advisement, and thank you to everyone.